I'm Mimi Rosenberg, and this is Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report, with a special for International Women's Day, Mukhtarin Mai, I Will Not Die. Mukhtarin Mai, I Will Not Die. This radio essay spotlights violence against women as a worldwide problem that must be addressed. Mukhtarin Mai, the victim of a brutal gang rape ordered by a tribal court in Pakistan, is garnering worldwide support for her efforts to combat sexual violence in Pakistan. Despite suffering the worst of crimes, Mukhtarin Mai has emerged as a leader for the rights and concerns of women in her country. We must pay homage to her exceptional character and answer her challenge to promote the welfare of all women. Mukhtarin Mai was not the first woman to have been raped as an act of vengeance, so what makes her story different? The fact that she took the brave step, like civil rights leader Rosa Parks, who passed away this past October, of speaking up. She broke the code of silence surrounding the treatment of women in rural Pakistan, and through her voice and actions has inspired women throughout the world. Mukhtarin Mai tells her story interwoven with poetry and music, a story that will make you cry, and Mukhtarin's indomitable spirit will lift you high and inspire all who listen to fight sexual violence. Mukhtarin Mai, I Will Not Die.
These men are bastards. They have not only humiliated us, but an entire nation.
It's a crime against humanity.
This is the biggest fraud in the history of Pakistan.
Legally speaking, if a man has sexual relations with his wife, it isn't rape.
She's unique. Most women become silent victims.
It's not a such case. There are hundreds of such cases. She's only really lucky because the media picked up on it.
Severe bruising.
You and I both know what
remnants
kind of a woman is divorced,
fluid.
Don't we?
Based on my exam, I say with certainty that Mukhtarin Mai was raped.
Isolated, backward, and poor. This is Mirwala, a small farming village in Pakistan. Home to Mukhtarin, a gentle-natured Quran teacher. A hard-working woman, Mukhtarin supports her family by teaching and tailoring. On June 22, 2002, Mukhtarin's world is shattered by a series of tragic events that unfold on that day. Mukhtarin's younger brother 15-year-old Shakur is found on a romantic tryst with Salma, a girl from the upper caste Mastoi clan. Outraged, the three men who find them, Salma's brothers, punish the lower caste boy for his indiscretion. Fearing for her own life, Salma denies any involvement with Shakur. Mukhtaran pays the price for her brother's mistake. The Mastois drag her to their home and gang rape her to avenge their dishonor. Mirwala would like to forget what happened and move on. But Mukhtaran won't let them. Community pressure, degradation, and death threats are unable to silence Mukhtaran, who remains undaunted in her quest for justice. Mukhtaran's bravery inspires other women to break the silence. She inadvertently becomes a human rights crusader. This is her story.
Mina Alexander, this woman is a poet and an essayist, and she pulls the two together in her work. And I encourage you to both look at her poems and her essays called The Shock of Arrival. We are thrilled to have her here.
Thank you.
It's a very great honor and great pleasure. I found it so moving to be here. Spirit is in the space, but also because I think of her and really as sisters in arms. And as I saw you all sitting out there talking to each other, I thought it's true. You know, there are generations, and that's how we live. I came to this country. I came as an immigrant a little over 20 years ago. In other words, it made sense to me to be here. In other words, to breathe, to live, to write. It was all part of the same thing. It was part of being the same body and blood. I want to just read you this is from an essay called The Difficult Miracle of Black Poetry in America, or Something Like a Sonnet for Phyllis Wheatley. Phyllis Wheatley, this extraordinary woman, the first black woman poet, the first black poet, and also the second woman poet to come to publication in the United States, born a slave, died a poet. And I'm going to just read a little bit from this essay. It was not natural, and she was the first. Come from a country of many tongues, tortured by rupture, by theft, by travel, like mismatched clothing packed down into the cargo hold of evil ships sailing, irreversible into slavery. Come to a country to be docile and dumb, to be big and breeding, easily to be turkey, horse, cow, to be cook, carpenter, plow, to be 5 foot six, 140 pounds in good condition, and answering to the name of Tom or Mary, to be bed bait, to be legally spread legs for rape by the master's son, the master's overseer, the master's visiting nephew, to be nothing human, nothing family, nothing from nowhere, nothing that screams, nothing that weeps, nothing that dreams, nothing that keeps anything, anyone deep in your heart, to live forcibly illiterate, forcibly itinerant, to live eyes lowered, head bowed, to be worked without rest, to be worked without pay, to be worked without thanks, to be worked day up to nightfall, to be three-fifths of a human being at best, to be this valuable, this hated thing among strangers, who purchased your life and then cursed it unceasingly, to be a slave, to be a slave. Come to this country a slave, and how could you sing? After the flogging, the lynch rope, the general terror and weariness, what should you know of a lyrical life? How could you, belonging to no one, but property to those despising the smiles of your soul, how could you dare to create yourself a poet? And that really is the question for all of us gathered in this room, particularly the young ones, but also the old ones. How could you dare create yourself a poet? And that's such an important question. When I was a child growing up in India and North Africa, there was no way that as a woman I could be valued as a poet. So one had to fight every inch of the step. And it's something to be proud of. You know, for those of you who have difficulties in life, and we all do, it's extremely important to be proud of the great creativity that is your gift, that is your life birth. I just want to say a few words before I end. Before coming here, I had a very, very long lunch with an extraordinary feminist poet who has come from Pakistan called Kishwar Nahid. So when I told her I was coming here, she almost wept. And in closing, I will read another few lines of June's, which are at the end of this essay. Like the trees of winter, and like the snow which has no power, makes very little sound, but comes and collects itself, edible light on the black trees. The tall black trees of winter, lifting up a poetry of snow, so that we may be astounded by the poems of black trees inside a cold environment.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are they that mourn,
for they shall be comforted.
Blessed
are the meek.
Blessed are they who seek us after righteousness,
they shall be filled.
Blessed
are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Blessed are
they shall see God.
Blessed are
the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Blessed are they
who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Theirs
is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed
are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Before you,
bless. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed
are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Blessed
are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely.
This poem was written in honor of Mukhtar Mai by Aisha Iftikhar. I can survive, even as the din of voices in a sea of confusion try to drown me out. I hold on to the river's edge and teach myself to swim. 1,000 fingers point at me, 1,000 tongues wag, 1,000 heads shake in disapproval, 1,000 eyes pierce through my back. I was violated. My mind, body, and spirit, stripped of my dignity. I was paraded naked before my very kin, my bruised and battered body for all to see. I stood alone amidst the laughing crowd. Even my own turned away from me. But that was yesterday. I am here today, no longer weak. Look at me. I am still standing, still talking, still laughing. Those 1,000 eyes and 1,000 tongues and 1,000 fingers cannot take away the hope within this one heart. This one heart that with every beat affirms the song of my survival. This poem that I just read in my mind captures the essence of Mukhtar Mai's spirit. After suffering the worst form of violation, Mukhtar Mai emerged not only a survivor, but a champion for human rights, a leader, a teacher, and a role model. Her strength and resilience have given hope to thousands of survivors of rape in Pakistan, a country where a rape victim is more often treated as the criminal. In her pursuit for truth and justice, Mukhtar Mai has rightfully been compared to Rosa Parks, a woman whose bravery has changed the course of history in this country. Mukhtar Mai's actions have similarly sparked a movement for women's rights, both within Pakistan and in the diaspora, and there is no turning back. She reminds us that the women of Pakistan deserve better, and her actions have exemplified the true meaning of the word honor. Mukhtar Mai's journey has truly been remarkable, and her legacy in the area of women's rights in Pakistan is only beginning. She firmly believes that only through education can the mistreatment and oppression of women end, and the school that she has opened in her village of Mirwala has already transformed the lives of hundreds of young girls. She will be joined by her friend and supporter Naseem Akhtar, who is also from Mirwala. Naseem Akhtar has also been working with Mukhtar Mai in running the school for girls in their village. I'd like to welcome Purvi Shah, Executive Director of Sakhi for South Asian Women.
We at Sakhi are so honored and privileged to be able to support this event to somebody who has faced extraordinary circumstances. Ms. Mai was suffering from violation sexually, physically. We all know that her dignity was taken from her. But what is extraordinary about this situation is that she was able to turn these circumstances and become a beacon for the whole world, not just herself, but really for the whole world. And that truly is amazing. We here think about Pakistan in a country where people say, government officials suggest that rape, sexual assault, domestic violence doesn't occur because records aren't kept. But we know the truth. We know that it does occur. And it's women like Mukhtar Mai who are able to make this show, to show this light to everyone else. But let us not forget that this abuse also happens here in the United States. We at Sakhi see that there are many women who call us for assistance as well. This year, we have almost 600 new calls already for support. And just recently, a woman in Maryland named Yvette Cade was lit by her husband and burned and is in critical condition now. We know here that this happened because a judge dismissed her order of protection and he was able to take that action. So while we demand justice in Pakistan and South Asia, we too should remember that we must demand justice here in America as well. So I call upon all of you. We have a role model, an inspiration, an ordinary woman who has done something extraordinary. And I ask each of you to create change, to take action, and to use your lives to make a difference for peace.
Shabnam Farooqi, President of the Islamic Law Students Association of NYU. Ms. Farooqi will read a statement in support of Mukhtar Mai issued by a coalition of Muslim organizations of North America.
We, the undersigned Muslim organizations, recognize and wholly support the struggle of Mukhtar Mai, a Pakistani woman, to obtain justice for the wrongs committed against her. Sexual violence is not, nor has ever been, a legitimate means of punishment in Islam. To the contrary, classical Muslim jurists treated rape as one of the most serious crimes, requiring severe punishment of those responsible. Moreover, Mukhtar Mai's sentence violated the basic principle of Islamic due process that no one is liable for the actions of another, a principle grounded in the Quran itself. Nevertheless, there was insufficient recognition of these Islamic principles in the official treatment of Mukhtar Mai by the legal and political system in Pakistan, a country that purports to uphold Islamic law in its constitution. We applaud and support Mukhtar Mai's refusal to be silent and her willingness to stand up for justice in the spirit of the Quranic exhortation to, quote, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even as against yourselves or your parents or your kin, and whether it be against rich or poor. We support her struggle to draw attention not just to herself, but to any and all victims of sexual violence. Every year, thousands of women in Muslim countries and communities around the world are subjected to sexual violence under the pretense of legal or political justifications. Many of these women never obtain justice because of cultural norms that promote shame and silence, or because of legal systems that are unwilling to or ineffective in responding to sexual violence. We challenge our communities to recognize the reality of sexual violence and to speak out against it and to create legal structures that bring justice and accountability to those responsible. It is as Muslims that we oppose sexual abuse of women in any form and that we stand in solidarity with our Pakistani sister Mukhtar Mai.
My name is Dr. Amna Bhutar. I'm the president and co-founder of Asian American Network Against Abuse of Human Rights. Mukhtar Mai is a soft-spoken woman who looks so fragile, and she's defying the odds. She said no to oppression, no to injustice, no to the system where poor people, and especially women, are treated like property. And she did this because she had no choice. In the darkest hour of her life, she wished for death or for a life where she would fight for justice. It is this choice which sets her apart from everyone else. This is what Rosa Parks did. She chose to assert herself, assert her right to exist freely despite the oppressive attitude of people in her country. Neither of these women knew that by making a certain choice, they would be changing history or her story. Mukhtar Bibi is Rosa Parks of Pakistan. Oppression is everywhere, and we have to stand behind those who are trying to fight it. What we can do is support her and stand by her. She has taken her victimhood and turned it into heroic measures. She opened two schools. In her area, there were never any schools. She has started a movement. Men, women, and children show up at her doorstep every day, thinking she can do miracles.
because she has shown people that one human being can make a difference. People around the world are finding hope in her. There are Pakistani women in this country whose husbands have been deported, who are being harassed by government here, and who are being oppressed, and who are being victimized, who are now thinking, Mukhtar Bibi gives them hope. There is hope, and that is what Mukhtar Bibi stands for. We must keep her movement alive. We cannot let it go back now, because from now on, from this day forward, there is hope. There is hope that one day in Pakistan, in America, in the whole world, there will be a just world.
Please welcome Mukhtar Mai.
मेरी बहनों और भाइयों अस्सलाम वालेकुम मैं आप सबका यहां आने का शुक्रिया अदा करती हूं
माय सिस्टर्स एंड ब्रदर्स अस्सलाम वालेकुम आई थैंक ऑल ऑफ यू टू कम हियर
मुझे बहुत खुशी है कि आप मेरे मिशन में आप सब ने जिस कदर साथ दिया है उससे मेरा हौसला बढ़ा है
द सपोर्ट दैट All of you have provided to me in my mission has increased my courage.
मैं जुल्म के खिलाफ लड़ रही हूँ, जहाँ ख़वातीन गरीब के खिलाफ ज़्यादती होती है.
I'm fighting a fight against oppression, where poor and women are being violated.
ये ज़्यादती वहाँ के वडेरे जागीरदार ज़िम्मेदार करते हैं.
This violation is done by big landlords and feudals.
जिनके पास ताकत दौलत होती है.
They are the ones who have the power and money.
मगर मेरे पास इसी हालात को बदलने के लिए अल्लाह ताला का और आप सबका साथ है.
But to change such conditions, all I have is God's support and all of you's support.
मैं जुल्म को इल्म से खत्म करूंगी.
I will end oppression with education.
जो ख़वातीन तहफ़ुज़ का जिनमें लोगों के ताकत मेरे साथ है.
I will try to provide protection for women and I have people's power with me.
इंशाल्लाह हक सच की फतह होती है.
God willing, truth will get victory. It is indeed a victory for poor and for people. And the bigger victory is that 3 years ago, Mukhtar Bibi could not read or write. And today she read you a statement that she wrote. So this is a very big victory.
Mukhtar Mai explains her isolation, her initial solitude after her brutalization, and then as her case progressed, the legal consequences for the torturers of her brother, and the status of her case and the persistent inequity of the legal system for poor women.
Ji mujhe bilkul pata nahi tha kisi tanzeem ka bili tanzeem mein bhi kaam karti hai ya mujhe ye bhi pata nahi tha meri FIR kaati jati hai ki nahi लेकिन सिर्फ अल्लाह के आसरे थे मैं भी मुझे किसी का पता नहीं था कोई इतना मेरा साथ देसी या तंजीमें हैं तंजीमें काम करती हैं मुझे किसी का पता नहीं था
I had no idea. I didn't know about any organization that are working in my country, around the world. I didn't even know if my police report will be done. And I had no idea about anything. Just God had given me courage and I knew that I could fight for justice.
ये मेरे साथ उस वक्त अल्लाह के सिवा और माँ के सिवा और उसी वक्त कोई नहीं था.
At that time, other than God or my mother, there was nobody else on my side. It was her mother who really supported her.
जी अल्लाह का शुक्र है, शुक्र ठीक है. उन लोगों को सजा मिली है 5 साल की.
The people who raped Shakur have been imprisoned for 5 years. They were charged. They were sentenced for 5 years. Men who sodomized Shakur were charged. Men who were in the panchayat were charged. And men who raped Mukhtar Bibi were charged.
Mai explains more on how insult is added to injury by a dual justice system, one for the poor and one for the propertied class, how poor women are locked out of the political process, and she then comments on the hostility and derision of her by President Musharraf of Pakistan, who accuses her of opportunism as she raises her voice internationally against sexual violence and refuses to succumb to victimhood.
पाकिस्तान का सरबराह होकर औरतों के बारे ऐसी बात कहता है, क्योंकि मैं समझती हूँ कोई औरत भी नहीं चाहती, ना उसको कनाडा के वीज़े की ज़रूरत होती है, ना उसको अमेरिका के वीज़े की ज़रूरत होती है. वो तो गरीब होते हैं तो उसको पता भी नहीं होता क्या होता है, आगे हमारी FIR काटी जाती है कि नहीं काटी जाती. एक किसको पता होता है उसने अमेरिका जाना है, उसने कनाडा जाना है. ये बिल्कुल सही बात नहीं है, मुझे भी इस चीज़ का दुख लगे.
आई वॉज डीपली सैडन, द हेड ऑफ आवर कंट्री just does not seem right. A poor woman, why would a woman want to go to Canada or America when this happens to a woman? She is not concerned about such things. That at that moment she is concerned about trying to get justice, trying to get, you know, whether the police report will happen or not and what will happen. Why would somebody want to do this? It is, I'm very, very sad about such statements.
तो मेरा केस अदालत में ये बात कहनी तो नहीं कहना तो नहीं चाहती.
First of all, I have to say that my case is still in a court, so I have to be candid about what I say.
बस मैं इतना ही कह सकती हूँ कि अदालतें साफ हों और पुलिस का निज़ाम तो बिल्कुल हो तो बहुत खराब है, लेकिन हम लोग दुआ ही कर सकते हैं हाली फिलहाल.
I do want to say that the courts should be fair. And the police system is really bad, and all we can do is pray. And that is the struggle of poor people in Pakistan. The parallel court system in Pakistan is a problem because there are 3 different court systems. And in Mukhtar Bibi's case, it is evident what happened. First of all, the police, there were 3 different FIRs. And this doesn't get out in the documentaries and in, you know, in the reports. And there were 3 different FIRs, which is the first information report, which is the police. It is impossible to get a police report for a poor person who cannot bribe or doesn't know an influential person. So she went there. When she decided she wanted to go get the FIR, she went there. She can't read or write. So first time, they actually got a blank FIR. She didn't see anything written on there, and they just made her sign, not sign, she just did the thumbprint. And then later on, they produced that FIR in the court, and there was stuff written on it. She said, I never saw anything, and not that she could read anyway. So second time when the FIR was done, they wrote something, but they wrote wrong. That's not what she was saying, because they were bribed by the feudals. Then the third time, when finally a magistrate did the FIR, that's when the accuracy came out. And the first time when there was a major, major media outbreak, and the people, NGOs in the country were rioting, and the government felt cornered, so they said, Supreme Court said, suo moto, that okay, the police has to do this. And then the government said, let's do something for her case, let's give her a decision. So they did it, tried it in anti-terrorism court. It was a special court. So, and they did some mistakes there. They, you know, didn't look at all the evidence clearly. So they did the judgment in her favor, but this was actually a disservice to her, because then later on when the case went in high court, they dismissed it at the basis of no evidence or lack of evidence because of these technicalities. And now the case is in Supreme Court. And this is the plight of poor Pakistanians. There are several organizations within Pakistan trying to fight for past 20 years, the parallel court system. There has to be one unified court system that can at least be free.
जी मैंने आख्या तो सब लोगों को है जो मैं ये काम कर रही हूँ या करना चाहती हूँ लेकिन इन विच तंजीमा तो सारे को गान गिनो लेकिन जो सरकारी लोग इन मैं समझती हूँ बेगम अत्या नयतुल्ला डॉक्टर शहीन अतीक रहमान क्योंकि ये लोग हैं मेरे साथ जहाँ तक इन्हें विच आवन दा तालुक है मेरे ख्याल में गरीब को तो आने नहीं देते इस किसी भी सीट पे होनी तो इलेक्शन थे तो कोई गरीब दे गिनो कोई गए नहीं
As far as the question of whether poor women should be in politics, nobody lets us. Even now, in the recent election, all the women's seats have gone to rich women and not to poor women.
Mai enthusiastically lays out her plans for projects she intends to initiate to continue her quest to enlighten and provide multiple services for the impoverished women of Pakistan, and she suggests how and where non-governmental organizations should commit their resources.
जी वहाँ पर एक तो मेरा इरादा है अस्पताल बनाने का और दूसरा मेरा इरादा है वहाँ पर एक पूरी टीम वकील जैसे एक तंजीम द पूरा अमला होंगे एक जैसे सवारी होंगी सवारी हो जहाँ पर भी जुल्म हो वहाँ पर हमारी टीम पहुँचे
I want to open a hospital in my area also, and then I have a proposal for a project where I would like to have a whole team with doctors, lawyers, and a team of our organization with a van where we can go wherever there are such violations happening and help people in their area provide legal, medical, and social help.
जी हाल ही फिलहाल जो जो वहाँ पर काम करती हैं हाल ही तक शहरों में ज़्यादातर गांव में नहीं है मैं चाहती हूँ गांव में भी ये तंजीमें जाकर काम करें गरीबों के लिए गरीब औरतों के लिए गरीब मर्दों के लिए गरीब बूढ़े बच्चों के लिए
The funders that are funding NGOs are all in cities. I would like to see work being done in villages. In the rural areas for poor people, for poor women, poor children, and poor men and older people. It needs to be done in those areas.
Mai explains the importance of self-realization and expression to exercise the violence and abuse suffered and the affirmation of education as a means of freeing oneself from oppression and the initiation of anti-sexist education to break the chain of dominance and abuse.
जी ये तो वो अल्लाह ताला का शुक्र है मैं अल्लाह ताला का शुक्र अदा कर रही हूँ जो मेरे को भी अल्लाह ताला ये मकाम तो नहीं पहुँचाए लेकिन मेरे को उन औरतों का भी दुख है जिसे मैं समझती हूँ अल्लाह ताला किसी किसी के हाथों कोई काम लेता है
I thank God that God is helping me and I'm very sad about all the women and I do believe that God has a plan for someone and God has This is because of God that He wants to get this done from me.
मैं तो सब कुछ यही कहती हूँ मैं कहती हूँ अपनी थोड़ी सी भी आपके साथ ज्यादती हुई है तो उसके लिए लड़ें.
I always tell people and I promote this and I say even if your rights are violated a little bit you must fight for justice. For a small village they have programs for empowerment of girls. They have a boys' school and a girls' school. every Friday they have speeches and they talk about violence, domestic violence, sexual violence and women empowerment.
جی میں سمجھتی ہوں جو وڈیرے ہیں وہ غلط کام خود نہیں کرتے اساں غریب لوگ جو ان پڑھ ہوتے ہیں ان سے کراتے ہیں میں سمجھتی ہوں جب یہ تعلیم ہوگی ان کو پتہ ہوگا ان کو ہر چیز سمجھیں گے میں سمجھتی ہوں غلط کام وہ غریب ہیں غریبوں کے بال نہیں کریں گے
The feudals who do these bad deeds they actually use poor people to do it and I believe that if poor are educated they will be more aware and they will not do these deeds and will be better aware of
ji ye bilkul haqeeqat hai main samajhti hu jahan par main pahunchi hu jo padhi likhi auratein wo to insaan ki imdad bhi karti hain tasalli bhi deti hain jo auratein anpadh hain wo kehti hain aap andar baithi rahe isko na zahir kare lekin main samajhti hu aaj daida ye bhi inshaallah
I believe that it is really education would be the answer because it's women who are uneducated that say don't talk about it and hopefully slowly God willing things will change and I do want to say that Mukhtar Bibi's courage has been inspirational you know in Anna we have a lot of female volunteers and including myself majority of us are survivors of domestic violence and some one or another form of sexual abuse be it child abuse or other forms and we all find inspiration and courage from her
bilkul aapne sahi kaha kyunki hamare area mein jo hai mardon se zyada ziyadatein hi hoti hain aur wo log karte hain usme bunyadi wajah wahi hai ki jo jagirdarana nizam hai wo mard جو گاؤں کے ہیں وہ اکثر ان کے یعنی یہی کہیں کہ وہ ان کے شکنجے میں ہیں اور وہ جیسا کرواتے ہیں وہ ویسے کرتے ہیں
Men have to be educated and their mindsets have to change because men think first of themselves as men and they have the sense of entitlement that they can do what they want to do. So if oppression against women has to stop then men have to be educated and they're doing what they can to make that happen. Through education, through awareness, but also by encouraging men to learn about their rights as well and to learn how to help women protect their rights. And poverty and health issues, which are serious in the rural areas of Pakistan where there's no medical help available to women and they suffer. And so that's the other area that they're focusing on and schools, of course. They're trying to establish a crisis center for women in need and also through all the work that they're doing that they want to make the perpetrators who are mostly male understand their role in how this oppression of women happens.
Mai proudly proclaims the progress of her village and region since she refused to die and asserts her support for oppressed women anywhere in the world and certainly for those suffering, and challenges the U.S. government to address the abuse of women within its borders. She further exhorts the U.S. to relate to the world by giving resources, not weapons.
جی جہاں تک میرے گاؤں کا تعلق ہے وہاں پر تو 3 سال سے کوئی پنچایت نہیں بیٹھی 3 سال سے کوئی زیاد کی نہیں تھی جہاں تک چینج کا تعلق
As far as my village is concerned, in past 3 years, there has been no panchayat, the tribal council who make these oppressive decisions, and there has been no woman raped in my village for past 3 years.
جہاں تک میں سمجھتی ہوں وہاں ابھی تک کوئی وڈیرے ہیں ان کے حکم چلتے ہیں لیکن یہ میں سمجھتی ہوں چینج آئے گا ضرور آئے گا اتنا فرق تو ہے جب ہم لوگ اس طرح مل بیٹھ کے یہ آواز اٹھاتے رہے تو انشاءاللہ چینج آئے گا
As far as my region is concerned there are still feudals and oppressors but I do believe that change will happen God willing change will happen and it's because as long as we keep sitting like this and talking change will happen
ji aurat ke sath jahan par bhi ziyadat ki hoti hai main unke sath hu main yahan ki government ko bhi appeal karti hu کہ ان عورتوں کے مسئلے حل.
I appeal to the US government to help solve the problems of immigrant Pakistani women who are being violated in this country.
جی میں سمجھتی ہوں جہاں پر یہ اسلحے کی بجائے غریبوں کو پیسے دیں, غریبوں کی امداد کریں, اور جہاں گاؤں ہیں وہاں پر کوئی تنظیمہ کام نہیں کرتی, ان کو یہی لوگ پیسے دیتے ہیں, لیکن ان کو کہیں گاؤں میں کام کریں.
I would like them to give money instead of weapons, to give money for poor people. And they give money to organizations. I want them to urge the organizations, the non-government organizations, I want them to urge the NGOs to work for poor people, to work in the villages. There actually have been some moments when I could really think that she also understood some English. And I asked her, I said, why turn around? I was so surprised because what was being said, she made an expression that she understood it. And she said, yes, she understood few words in that sentence and she understood it. So that there have been a lot of little victories in this trip, and that she has noticed, you know, we were riding in the elevator and and those are some of the things that just amaze me, because I don't know when was the last, you know, I don't have a memory of when was the first time I could read numbers. But for her, this is a great victory, because in the elevator, she could read 12. And she said, I can read 12. And I said, so 3 years ago, you couldn't read 12? And she said, no, I could read nothing. So we have to keep encouraging her. She's in third grade of her own school now.
Wanted to say a couple of words about Turning Point for Women. I'm so encouraged by Mukhtara Bibi's presence amongst us. We founded Turning Point in December of 2004 to address domestic violence among the Muslim communities here in New York. It's the first organization that works to address domestic violence within the Muslim community and beyond all ethnic backgrounds. So no matter where the woman is from, as long as she identifies herself as a Muslim, we work with her and we provide services in this city and as well as our community, and we're trying to break the silence around it. Of course, given the aftermath of 9/11, it has made it exceedingly difficult for us because the community is being judged in so many ways. And everything that we do or don't do is judged by calling Islam the problem. And so you can imagine how hard it is. But looking at Mukhtara Mai, I feel if she can work the way she's doing her work, and fight against oppression coming from where she is, and given the system she's living in, my work and our work should not be so hard.
Where do we go from here? What do we do? We've heard her, we've been hearing her, and what do we do? What do we want to do? I mean, sometimes we feel helpless, sometimes we feel angry, sometimes we just say, well, what can I do? I think, and I have tried to get in Mukhtar's head, so it's like, you know, what can we do? And it seems, it's like, you know, what is it that we can do here? And the only answer that I've gotten from them is, be there for me. And I think whatever that means to you, being there for her is, if that means you give her money, then you be there for her. If that means that you go there and volunteer, go to Meerwala. I have never been to Meerwala, and I want to go there. Because, you know, how is it possible that I only lived, grew up just a few hundred miles from her? Part of my family is from Multan, which is very close to her. And I never bothered to go to Meerwala. I think the world has become very small. If we all kept going to every corner and showing the world that, look, you cannot do this in 21st century, you cannot do this in Rwanda or Darfur or Alabama or Mississippi or New York City or Meerwala, that will be the answer. We have to be there, whether we join ANA, whether we just independently do it, whether we just go to Meerwala, give her money, support her, talk to our Congress people, call General Musharraf, you know, send emails. If thousands, hundreds of thousands of emails went to General Musharraf or Ambassador Karamat, they will listen. We have to understand the power, of us. Everybody keeps saying, why now? Why her? Let's stop asking the questions, why her? Let's accept it. It is happening. Ladies and gentlemen, power of people is evident to us. Power of truth is evident to us. Let's stop questioning it. Let's join this movement. Let's give a hand to Mukhtar Mai.
Mukhtar Mai is a woman of few words. She speaks so softly at times that she can barely be heard. She doesn't smile easily and is quite shy. But there's a steely toughness to Mai, a victim who is trying to change the way women are treated in Pakistan, indeed the world. And her message rings loud. Women of the world who have been raped, who have been physically, mentally violated, no matter what, they must talk about it, and we must fight for justice. You've been listening to Mukhtar Mai, I Will Not Die, a radio essay. This has been a Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report special for International Women's Day, produced by Mimi Rosenberg. Thanks to the Asian American Network Against Abuse of Human Rights and the Amnesty International USA New York City Women's Human Rights Action Team, the Asian Society, and Saki for South Asian Women. Musical selections by Sweet Honey and the Rock, Anushka Shankar, Kila's Alexandra Lima, Pakistan's Noor Jahan, and the Brooklyn Women's Chorus. Thanks also to the producers of the DVD, Shame. Special thanks for technical assistance to Ken Nash, co-producer and co-host of Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report.